I believe this is probably about lesson five on spiritual aspects. I'm going to talk about the power of prayer here tonight. And man, I'm just excited. I'm excited. I'm excited about the upcoming year and things. And I've been praying, and I have felt the necessity to teach concerning a certain subject, one that I haven't taught on, so I don't have anything to pull from, and so I'm just trying to glean, I'm trying to read. I was going to try to start it in December, but I realized that I was so far behind, it's just too much. And I got too much to study and to look into and to glean to be able to bring forward unto you. And so I think it was either early this week or late last week, sometime or another, I was praying, seeking God. And God opened up, I would say, the fullness of it. And so I'm probably going to start that in January. And we're going to move forward from there. And I've got some other stuff that I'm just excited about. I'm excited about 2022. I am. I am. We got talking to Sister Glenda, amen, and we're getting our chef's aprons on, and we're getting ready to make some Indian tacos, and but you got to buy them. We ain't giving them away, but we're looking forward to doing that. We're going to press forward on our building fund. And if God opens up a door next year, we'll walk through it. If God opens up a door in 2023, we'll walk. But whenever he opens up a door, we're going to walk. We're going to walk through it. And I'm just praying that the will of God would be done in that, that the purpose of God would be done, and that the position of God would be had. And I want to be positioned by God. Amen. Praise God. Let me just talk to you a little bit about that. Most of you know Brother Greg Charles in Garden City, Kansas. And did anybody ever see his old building? One, two, maybe. I know I did. I preached in it. Dear God, have mercy. I thought the walls are going to fall in. I mean, the walls are like leaning and everything, and then you got Brother Kyle Charles playing the drums. You're like, hey, dude, chill. The whole building's fixing to fall down. And but man, what a mess it was. What a mess. And then out of the blue, he just feels to go buy this piece of property out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the cornfield or something. Nothing around. And he just feels, I just feel God told me to buy that piece of property. Okay, there's nothing there, nothing anywhere around. And I don't know how long ago that was, but the years have progressed, and now you go to the church, and I put all the ceilings in that church, and that was in 2008, and there really wasn't anything around that place. How many of you have been there here of late? Oh, precious Jesus, there's everything around there. And back when he bought it, I mean, he bought the land super cheap, went over there, built. I mean, it was like you had to go out of town to go to church. But today, it is unreal. I mean, it was a little bitty country road. It had some pavement on it. A little bitty country road that you had to drive to out there to their piece of property. And now it's like two lanes both ways. City came in, bought proper part of their property and gave them money for that. And they had a good section of property and stuff, and their church is kind of sitting off and stuff, so it didn't affect them whatsoever at all. They got money out of it all. And then Menards went in right across the street. Walmart's right down the way. Chili's and Applebee's and TGI Fridays is almost next door. Radio station, everything is next door. Ross and all kinds of other shopping centers are right around that area. It is the place to be, and he's right in the middle of it. That's what I mean by positioned by God. And that's what I want. I want to be positioned by God. And if God puts us where it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere and stuff, he knows. And he's going to work it all out. And if he puts us in a place where there's no utilities, he knows. He'll work it all out. But if he puts us in a place where there's a building and such, he knows. Amen. And I just want to be sensitive enough to know that God has spoken and God has directed. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And you know, the only way that you're going to be able, that we are going to be able to hear the voice of God, is we've got to talk to God. We've got to become familiar with his voice. Amen. I believe that God desires to talk to us. Amen. But God wants us to talk to him as well. And so we need to be diligent, and not just diligent, we need to be consistent about talking to God. The more you talk to God, the better relationship you're going to have with God. The more you talk to God, the more you're going to know God. The more you talk to God, the better you're going to feel about the things of God. Amen. The Bible teaches us that his ways are above our ways, as his thoughts are above our thoughts. Amen. You know, we're nobody. We're nobody. We're just messed up sinners, saved by grace. Our minds don't think right. Oftentimes we don't work right. And the Bible says that we're just but a few days, born of a few days and full of trouble. That is our tendency. That is our direction, our error, that we tend to get into trouble. We tend to make the wrong choices. Amen. Praise God. And we tend to question the mind of God, the will of God, and oftentimes the word of God. Why? Because it is in direct opposition of the carnal mind. It is in direct opposition of who we are as a being. Amen. But in order to walk in the Spirit, amen, to not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof, we've got to get in the Spirit, and we get in the Spirit by prayer. Amen. Praise God. I'm not afraid of bringing in a man, amen, and him preaching it stronger than I believe it. I'm not afraid of that. And I don't want anybody to be intimidated or to feel nervous or anxious about that. Amen. Praise God. We'll have men. Not every man believes the same way. Amen. Praise God. We just don't. And it's not exactly sin. Amen. I heard one elder, he said, I believe that the Bible oftentimes does not put in black and white exactly how that we should be, how we should operate and stuff, because God wants to know how we will treat each other. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm not afraid of bringing in a man that stands a little stronger than I stand in some areas or such. You know why? Because it challenges me. It causes me to go back to the altar and say, God, do I need to believe this, or am I okay with where I am? I want to be challenged. It's not my way to do right. It's not my way to, amen, to live right and all of that. Amen. There is an enemy that is just simply called flesh, and flesh opposes the will of God, and therefore we've got to keep our flesh in subjection to the mind and to the will of God, submitting ourselves to God, amen, and presenting, amen. The only way that you're going to change, amen, is that there is opposition that comes against you that would wake you up and say, hey, you might need to consider a few things here. Praise God. And that's the way that I want God to know. Hey, God, you can challenge me at any time. Hey, God, you can come to me anytime. Praise God. I want to be saved. I got one chance at this, and I can't afford to be lost. Praise God. Therefore, it behooves me to pray, amen, that I might keep my spirit straight. Praise God. I want to be right with God. But I didn't come to preach about all of that tonight. And if I'm going to be short-winded, I got to move on. Praise God. I'm using a different Bible here tonight. I'm using Brother Boney's old Bible that he gave me. And I don't know why, I just felt like doing it. I know that he's a man of prayer. I've prayed with him many, many times in the altar and in the church sanctuary and stuff. And so I was getting prepared and getting ready. And I looked at this and said, you know what? I'm going to preach with this tonight. So if I get long-winded, it's his fault. It's just the anointing that carried over from this. And he got this Bible. He began to preach with it. And I think he got it back in 19... This Bible is older than I am. It's 1972. And so it's his fault, not mine. Praise God. We'll talk more about that Bible some other point in time, but nevertheless, praise God. Let's talk about this here today in prayer, prayer in general. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so the key phrase in this is going to be diligently seeking God. That's not casually seeking God. Amen. Praise God. I want to help build. I'm not interested in just building you. I'm interested in building me. Amen. I want to build this church. I want us to become what God would have us. Amen. And living for God is progressive. It's progressive. We don't ever get to the place that we become neutral and say, well, I've matured in God and I don't need to go any further. No. Heaven's way up there. We got to keep going. We don't have time to plane out and run on a horizontal level. We got to keep going vertically. Higher and higher and closer, amen. So I want to preach myself under conviction, amen. And so here we have, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Seek after Him. Amen. Not casually seeking after Him. Not nonchalantly seeking after Him. Not ho-hum. Not even averagely seeking after Him. But diligently seeking after Him. Amen. There's not a person in this place here tonight that does not want the attention of God many times in life. Amen. And the way that you're going to get the attention of God is you're going to have to diligently seek after Him. Praise God. Diligently seek after Him. Let me just say here tonight at the onset of all of this, amen, that we can hear the Word of God. We can hear everything that is right. Amen. And we have heard enough preaching in our lifetime, amen, to ought to cause us to sit, amen, right at the throne of God. Amen. But it is the coming back and doing it again and again and again and again that's going to prevail and keep us where, to put us where that we need to be. And the lesson like we are learning here tonight is more than just a message that is taught, because we can understand all of the nuances about it, all of the intricacies about it, all of the little things that go in prayer. But somewhere or another, we've got to get a spirit and a mindset that says, God, I want to catch the message. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Preaching on prayer ought to challenge every single one of us. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, amen, they said, I don't preach on prayer until I myself can get into a place of prayer, amen, that I want the church to arise to. And my thought in that is, I don't know that I'll ever get to that place in prayer that I want the church to arise to, because I want to continue to go further and deeper and higher, amen, than all. And I want the church to ascend into that. So there's got to be this mindset that I'm not who I want to be. I'm not what I should be, but by the helping grace of God, I'm on my way. Amen. I'm not totally thrilled with my prayer life. Amen. It's not because my prayer life is non-existent. Amen. But it could be that my prayer life isn't as consistent as that it would need to be. I'm just telling you here today, amen, I don't pray enough. And I don't know that I'll ever come to the place that I can say, oh, I pray enough. Amen. I want to pray more. And the only way that that's going to happen is I'm going to have to preach myself under conviction. And I pray that spirit would get upon us, that we would begin to reach for it, that the burden of prayer and the passion of prayer would get a hold of us. Friend, you're not going to experience it until you get down and apply yourself. But when you taste of it, when you taste of the power of prayer, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. You'll never be content, amen, with just a little low-life prayer life. Amen. You'll understand the power that prayer possesses, and you will walk into that sanctuary of prayer and see great fervent things happen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. I have been surrounded by some of the greatest prayer warriors that I think that have ever walked the face of this earth. And I don't measure up. Nowhere near do I measure up. Amen. I have been around Sister Edna Capps back in the early 90s. Amen. And Sister Edna Capps was in her 80s. But every Saturday, she alone would knock over 100 doors. Every Saturday. And then Saturday evening, she would come to the church and she would go into the sanctuary and she would pray and pray and pray and pray for those souls. That's why that church went from some 20 to 30 while I was there to almost 100 in just about 2.5 years. Amen. It was because of the prayer that was there. Amen. Sister Webb in Colorado Springs. Amen. She puts most preachers' prayer lives to shame. She is a Daniel when it comes to prayer, praying 3 times a day. She's there some 5 o'clock in the morning praying. She's there at noontime praying, and she's back in the evening time praying. Amen. And you know, that's phenomenal, but somewhere or another, desire just does not get it. I've got to catch it. Amen. I've got to be baptized with that. Amen. The Bible teaches us, amen, that the one that is lazy, he even desires, amen, to have it, but yet he does not. We cannot say, I want to be a prayer warrior. We cannot just say, oh, I want to pray more. Somewhere or another, we got to get down on bending knees. Somewhere or another, we got to stop pushing the snooze on the alarm clock. Somewhere or another, we've got to get beyond that carnal, amen, nature that says 15 minutes is good enough. But when you spend time in prayer and you get into that anointed place of prayer, that you can hear the voice, amen, the breath of God, amen, the whisperings of God, hallelujah, there's nothing that will ever take that place, amen, and that's the way that God designed it. He said it just like this, that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Friend, don't be weary in well doing. Don't give up in just 15 minutes. That's the devil saying that's enough. But press on through it and see where God will lead you. Praise God. The world is in the shape that they are in today because they left prayer behind. They've taken prayer out of the schools. Amen. They no longer pray, amen, before a lot of their meetings. I know that some Senate meetings and stuff, they have people that lead in prayer. And I know a couple of preachers that have led the prayer there, even in Washington, D.C. Amen. But it's not the way that God would have it. There is a power that is invested into prayer that you can experience. There's a power that I can experience, but we've got to understand, number one, it comes by faith, and number two, it comes by diligently seeking the face of God. You're not going to get it just assuming a position and going to sleep. You're not going to get it just meditating upon the Lord and expecting something to happen. There's got to be a place that when you come to, you're bombarding the heavens. Amen. You're knocking on the door of heaven saying, God, I've got to have an answer. God, you see my petition. God, you see what's going on. God, you hear my voice. God, you hear my concern. God, you know everything. God, we've got to hear from you. God, we've got to have an answer. God, we've got to have a miracle, and by faith God begins to move. Praise God. Be seated. God is a spirit.
God is a spirit. Amen. You're not going to find the embodiment of Christ. You're not going to find some manifested form of God. Brother Joshua, if you and I talk, we could probably talk for 2 to 3 hours. Because I can see you and you can see me and we can carry on conversation. But when it feels, you know, it's kind of like talking to somebody that you know is not listening. You don't really care to talk very long. And so kind of that feeling is there when you're praying to God because you can't see him. By faith,
you think he's listening to you. And so you can kind of get discouraged. And the cares of the day and the cares of life and stuff can overwhelm you. And you can give up before you get to that place that you need. But the only way to find what we are seeking after is the Spirit of God, is we've got to do spiritual things. And doing spiritual things includes praying. That's how we're going to find God. Amen. With it being spiritual, it becomes an act of faith, perfectly explaining Hebrews 11 and 6. Amen. When you pray, it is an act of faith. Praise God. Somebody that's not praying, we'll get into this here in a minute, but somebody that's not praying, they don't have any faith. They're manifesting a lack of faith. Because if you truly believe God could do it, there's nothing that would stop you from praying. If we truly believe that God could do it, amen, we would pray more than we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been having some pretty good prayer, pre-service prayer services. Amen. But in all reality, we're only sitting on about a 2 or a 3. So who can fix that? We can. All right? And you know, the only thing that I can fix is me. And the only thing that you can fix is you. But when I begin to pray and you begin to pray like we need to pray, it encourages somebody else to pray. Amen. Praise God. And that's what it's all about. Praise God. It's an act of faith. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you're believing two things. You're believing that he is and you're believing that he can. You've got to have those two ingredients in your prayer. Otherwise, you're probably going to be asking amiss, praying without faith, and your answers aren't going to come through because you don't have the faith that you need to have. God doesn't really reward doubt. You've got to alleviate doubt. You've got to pray as if this shall be done. That's Bible. That's Bible. We've got to change into that mode of prayer. Amen. We got to say the root of all sin is unbelief. All right? Think about that. The root of all sin is unbelief. Why? Because you don't believe there's judgment involved. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. But when you sin, you don't necessarily believe that judgment is going to come. Some may believe that judgment will come, but it's way off in the future. You don't believe that you could be judged now for that sin. Oh, I got time. So the root of sin is in unbelief. Believing breaks the curse of sin or of unbelief. Believing calls for one to pray, and prayer brings the reward. When one prays, they are unwrapping the reward of Hebrews 11 and 6. All right? Prayer has got to be a habit. I'm going to read through some of these things to get to where I want to go tonight, because I said I'm going to be short-winded. So I see unbelief out there. Prayer has got to be a habit. When one feels like, whether one feels like it or not, you still got to be disciplined to pray. You've got to be disciplined to pray. And we all need to pray. Not praying means that you feel like you're good enough to make it on your own. I can't make it on my own. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done. But by his grace, he saved us. By the washing of water and the regeneration of the whole and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3 and 5. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done. You're not saved because that ladies, you're not saved because that you don't cut your hair. You're not saved because that you don't wear pants. You're not saved because that you dress modestly. You're not saved because of those things. Those things are necessary. Those things are, man, you're not saved because that, you know, you're dressed modestly. You cover your bodies. You're not saved because that you get a good manly haircut. You're not saved because that those things are necessary. But it's works of right. Those things are right. Those things are right. And that's our righteousness. But our righteousness is as filthy rags. But nevertheless, we must be righteous. For if the righteous are scarcely saved, where does the sinner and the ungodly appear? In the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. If you're not righteous, you can't run into that name. You've got to be righteous. Or in other words, you've got to live right. You've got to do right. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. Therefore, 1 John chapter number 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation, the sacrifice for us all. And He is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. All right? So we must live righteously, but it's not our righteousness that's going to save us. It's His righteousness. And so I'm not depending upon my doing right. I'm depending upon His goodness. All right? You say, I'm lost. I can see lights are on, but nobody's home. So if I'm depending, because I always pick on Brother Garrett, if I'm depending upon Brother Garrett to get me a job, he says, no, don't do that. We could use the word kiss up. But to abstain from that, I'm going to try to position myself in Brother Garrett's friendship circle to show him that, hey, if you get me a job, you can count on me. You can trust me. You can put your name on it. I'm going to do. But if I stay away from him and I don't avail, hey, Brother Garrett, I need you to get me a job. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know his work ethic. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if he shows up all the time. I don't know. And that's what we're doing with God. I got to be righteous. But I want to position myself in His presence, that He can count on me, that He knows that I'm going to be what I need to be, that I'm going to be faithful, that I will be godly with a little g. I will be godly. And that if He needs somebody to pray, I'll be there for Him. Whatever He needs, I'm going to be there for it. If there's a sinner that's praying and saying, God, just lead me to somebody, I'm available. But I've got to position myself so that God can do these things in me. So it's not by my righteousness, but I'm depending upon Him to get me through. All right? So we take this a step further. I'm putting myself in the place because I'm depending upon Him to get me through the temptations that are about me. And I'm positioning myself through prayer, and I'm saying, God, if You don't help me, I'm going to mess up. And you know, sometimes God puts His arm around us and lets us feel His strength and His power. But sometimes God just walks behind us. Sometimes God walks ahead of us and just beckons us. Sometimes God wants to see if we'll just stand still. And we've got to be ready and sensitive to feel that and to know that. Praise God. I'm so far off my notes right now. Jesus, help me. So whether you feel like it or not, you've got to pray. Most often we don't feel like it. But when troubling times come, one's habit has got to kick into place. One's habit is going to come to the top. But is your habit complaining? Is your habit fault finding? Is your habit throwing a fit? Is your habit getting mad? Is your habit to go to prayer? Is it your habit, amen, to seek the face of God? That was the habit of God. Every time you see him getting into a pinch somewhere, amen, what does he do? He retreats to a place of prayer. He taught us the importance of prayer. And it's more than just the importance of prayer. And this is where I want to go tonight. He taught us about the power of prayer. Praise God. Amen. The power of prayer. We must believe, amen, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. James chapter number 5 and verse number 16 tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous, don't tell me it doesn't matter how that you live. Amen. If you want the favor of God, if you want the answer of God, amen, if you want the help of God, you've got to live righteously. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, not a perfect man, but a righteous man, availeth much. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to get into the effectual prayer. Whoa. God, help us here tonight. We've got to get into effectual prayer. Amen. Too often we're too comfortable with a lay me down to sleep prayer. Amen. But where are the old mothers of Zion that know how to pray, that know how to get in the spirit? Where are the prayer warriors of the olden days? Amen. That know how to pray and know how to walk in the spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you where they are. Amen. They're in the grave somewhere. And the thought is, we don't have time for all of that. We got to make time. We got to make time. And I'm here today to say, God, whenever you want to take over our service, I'm ready to step back in to let you do it. And if you want to move in the pre-service prayer, I'm ready to follow after you. I want the voice of God. I want the power of prayer, amen, to avail much in our church. Amen. Prayer is going to do way more than some hot dog cookout. Prayer is going to do more, amen, than a lot of things. And I want to be careful here. Amen. But we got to understand, I need to pray. I must pray. I must pray. I must pray. I can go knock 100 doors a day, amen, but how good would it be, or how much better would it be if I first found a place to pray and said, God, would you position me? God, would you lead me? Amen. I believe I'm going to back this up, but I believe that there's a lot of wasted time in prayer, amen, simply because we're missing the purpose of prayer. Amen. We're spending time in prayer, amen, but there's no purpose of prayer. I'm talking about just getting down and just saying all the same things that we say over and over and over. Friend, there's so much more to prayer than just that.
Oh yeah, there is. Oh yeah, there is. If not, then why did God condemn the Pharisees? What did they do? They went to the synagogue to pray. And they're saying, I fast twice a week. I pray oftentimes, and I thank you I'm not like that little sinner over there. That didn't get them a check mark on God's book. That got them called hypocrites. Praise God. I said he called them hypocrites. Praise God. Amen. Just going through the motion is not going to be good enough. Amen. I know that sometimes, I'm just telling you by example, there's times that I pray, amen, and I don't feel like I've broken through, amen, but I don't ever want it to be said. I just did, amen, I'm just marking time. And if I find myself marking time, then I'm in the wrong.
I need to change that. When we come in for pre-service prayer, let's not just mark time. There's something that's getting ready to happen. We're entering into a spiritual dimension. And there could be people that are going to come in. And they've got to be able to find God. Not talent. Or lack of talent. They've got to find God. The power of prayer, amen, will put it in that place. We may sound like a bunch of country bumpkins, but amen, when the city slicker walks in, if they feel God, if they feel the presence of God, there's something that'll change their life. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour to an hour and a half, amen, when I come in for pre-service prayer, but God does. I don't know who's going to be here, but God does. I don't know, amen, what the need is going to be, but God does. You may come in needing a miracle. You may come in needing an answer. You may come in, amen, needing deliverance from something that's battling your mind. It's up to the church to rally in a spirit of prayer that whatsoever the need is for the service, we can accomplish it through the power of God. I don't want to just be nonchalant. I don't want to be just another church. I don't want to be just another Pentecostal church. I want to be an effective church. I want it to be that when people come to this church and they walk out of this church, they tell their friend, I don't know what's different about that church over there, but there's something that's different. That's what I want. And you know the only way that that can happen, amen, it's not because we can play music better than the church across town. It's because we know how to pray and we get the power and the Spirit of God into the place that deliverance, healing, or old-fashioned conviction can come. We must pray. It's not necessarily about whether we wear a suit and a tie. It's not about whether you wear your best. We want to wear our best. We're going into the presence of God Almighty. But it's not about that. It's about finding the mind of God, positioning ourselves to the place that God can move in the house. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's the power. It's the power. The power of prayer. Amen. Jesus warned against vain repetition. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much sayings. Praise God. And I'm not going to take the time to get into all the different methods of praying. Amen. But just let it be known that we've got to find the channel that God is on. And when you get into the channel, you know, you're saying, God, do this, God, do that, God, do this, God, do that. Help us here, help us there, God, be this, God, be that. And you don't feel like you're breaking through, change the channel. Go into a spirit of thanksgiving. God, thank you for what you have done. God, thank you for helping me today. God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. So thankful for truth today. Thankful for who you are, for what you are. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. Thankful for your mercy. Thankful for your spirit, for truth, for your power, for your help, for your long suffering. Thank you for all of these things, God. And if you don't feel God in that, change the channel. Go into supplication. Go into different things. You know, the Bible said that when they went into the upper room, they made much prayer and supplication. We'll learn all about that at some other time. But there's different ways that we approach God. There's different ways that we approach God. Brings about results. Brings about results. Amen. So we've got to strive for our prayers to be effective. Amen. As the Bible said, effectual. The effectual, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. You know, I'm not, there's just sometimes we're going to have to do a little bit more than whisper. Fervent prayer. Can you place a fervent prayer? And I can promise you there's more times than not, 9 times out of 10, amen, we need to be in a spirit of prayer than in a spirit of meditation. Just meditating on the Lord. We need to be talking to Him. So I don't know what to do. I mean, Jesus said bind spirits. That's the power of prayer. So bind them. That's what He told Peter. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That doesn't mean that we're down here just declaring and proclaiming that thus, thus, and thus, and this is the way that it's going to be. And God says, okay, that's the way it's going to be. No, the original translation of all of that is that we would bind things as they are bound in heaven. That we would loose things as they are loosed in heaven already. One translation actually says that. Binding things that are bound as they are already bound. Loosing things as they are already loosed. So what does that mean? Well, that means that I got to find out what's bound. How can I find out what's bound? Number one, by the Word of God. Number two, by the Spirit of prayer. I can find out what's bound. There's some things that we know that need to be bound. Spirits that are not of the will of God or the work of God that would hinder, that would be detrimental to the will of God, they need to be bound. Anything that's a hindrance to the will of God for every service, it needs to be bound. That's the will of God. God doesn't want the mind of the devil, confusion, to run through the church. So when we come and say, God, I want you to bind all confusion. God, bind every spirit that's going to work against your will here tonight. That's what God wants to be bound. That's to say, God wants it. God wants that to be bound. Say, well, it's already bound. No, well, we've got to bind it here on earth. The devil doesn't get his way in heaven. But yet he's still trying to work in here. So sometimes, you know, it's God bind every work of the enemy that's trying. The distractions. It's like there's distractions. I can't hear the preaching because I'm distracted by everything. You know, the calls, the cares of the day, all these things. God help us. God help us. There is a power that is invested in prayer. When you go back to that scripture, I want to say it's there, James chapter 5, number 17. Amen. Somebody got that real quick? James 5, 17. What's that? James 5 and 17. Where it says something along the lines of, am I in the right place? Where it says that confess your faults one to another. That's 16. So in 16, confess your faults one to another, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's the next verse say? 17. Elisha was a man of like passion who prayed what? What? Prayed earnestly that what? That it would not rain for 3 years. And then what did he do? He prayed again. And then what happened? It rained. The power of prayer. Now it said that he was a man with like passions. In other words, he was affected the same way that you are. The same way that you are. Discouraged? Go read. Go read. What did we find? We find him in a cave. God, I alone, even I alone, I'm the only one that's left. Discouraged? Upset? He had emotional problems. A man of like passion, just like you and I. But yet, he got to a place. And he declared through prayer, and the power of prayer come through because he believed that God was a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And so he got to praying. He said, God, Stop the rain for 3 years. 3.5 years. Stop it. Until I pray again for it to rain, just stop it. I don't believe he was demanding and commanding God to do what he said. I believe that he got in the vein of God and God said, this is what's going to get the sinner's attention. This is what's going to upset Jezebel. This is what's going to cause all of those, amen. This is what's going to draw a line and cause people to come forward or to step back. And Elisha, praying all this, says, hey, we need something to happen. So, well, if there was a drought, I guarantee you something would happen. Elisha says, well, then let there be a drought for 3.5 until I pray again. Just don't let any rain come. God said, okay. One mind and one accord. Now, you've got to learn to get into this vein. I need an alarm clock. You've got to learn how to get into this vein. Because the Bible teaches us that we can pray amiss. We can spend all of our time praying amiss. We can't waste time praying like that. The Bible also says, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we can't just be asking anything. We've got to ask according to his will. Psalm said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I desire to win the lottery, so I'm going to run the aisles 5 times. Delight myself in God and go buy a lottery ticket. That's not the will of God. Therefore, he's not hearing that. All right? You've got to ask according to his will, and he will hear. You ask and you receive not, James 4:3. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Amen. Even Jesus prayed according to this when he said, Father, if it be thou, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. God. And that's the power of prayer. I want us to stand here tonight. It's the power of prayer. I want us to get a revelation that when we kneel down to pray, we're not just speaking words. There is something that can go on between the heavenly and the earthly. So that's why you begin to pray and you begin to pray for your lost loved ones. Don't just pray with intimidation. Don't just pray with timidness. Pray effectually. Pray fervently. Ask diligently with faith. God, the reason I'm coming to you about this is because I know that you can do something about this. And so that's why I'm here, God. And I just want you to know, like the little woman that just kept beating on the door of the judge, that's what I plan on doing. I'm coming back again and again and again until, amen, because you can answer this. You can do it. You can break that mindset. You can help. When we're praying for sinners, that's the way we need to pray. God, I don't have the words for them. God, I don't know how to do that. God, I'm not a people person. I can't just talk to people. I can't just do that. But God, some way, somehow, would you open a door of utterance? God, help me to get beyond my timidness. Amen. That I'm afraid of saying something about church because they're going to ask me a question that I can't answer. I'm depending upon you, God. You said that the Holy Ghost would teach me what to say. Power of prayer. Power of prayer. Power of prayer. Amen, amen, amen. We can go through the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and we can see all kinds of people that had faith and they prayed and they sought God. But you know what's the greatest thing is when they sought God and God didn't deliver them, but they just kept right on praying, right on seeking God. You know what that was? Faith. Say, well, that's why I don't do it. God may let me down. God ain't letting you down. All things work together for the good to them who love the Lord according to his purpose. And I'm going to leave you with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I believe it's verse number 17. He said, pray without ceasing. Why didn't he say dance without ceasing? Shout and sing without ceasing. He did say rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. Why did he say pray without ceasing? Because that's how important it is. And then in that next verse, you'll see where he says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, well, I find it really hard to give thanks in everything that I'm going through. That's because you're not praying without ceasing. That's the preceding verse. When you're praying like you need to pray, there's a lot of things that you may not understand. But you'll be able to give God thanks because you're still victorious. The devil hasn't overcome you. Praise God. You're not going to overcome your flesh if you're not praying like you need to be praying. You got to pray. You got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. Amen. Amen. This church will change dynamically when we pray. Not when we get better music, when we get new songs, or sing old songs. That's not it. That's not it. It's praying. Praying. There's a power that comes in prayer. And we can hear this all day long, but somewhere or another we've got to catch. Got to catch it. And we've got to apply it. We've got to apply it. Amen. When you apply it, you're going to have testimonies. God's going to come through for you. God's going to step in on your behalf. Because there is a power invested in prayer. I could go on and on and on, but I said short-winded is like 2 minutes before 9, right? So I've got some minutes. Daniel prayed. Shut the mouth of the lions. Hannah prayed. And she became fruitful and gave birth to Samuel. And the list goes on and on and on. Of people who prayed and things happened. Things happened. The Bible said through faith they subdued lions. They subdued enemies and such. Through faith. How did they get that faith? They stayed close to the Savior in prayer. Because without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm done here tonight, but I just feel like telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, you need to catch what I'm preaching here tonight. Because you're living a life of your righteousness. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You're living a life. You can't find fault in it because you've got all the dress code right. But you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. The temptations are getting stronger, stronger, and stronger. And you're on a destiny to fail. You say, am I going to backslide? I hope that you don't. I hope that you don't. But you're going to have a scar that you shouldn't have. Get close to God. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. And get back to praying like you know how. You gotta pray. You gotta pray. You don't want those scars on your life. Condemnation living beside you. Regret on one shoulder, condemnation on the other shoulder, beating you down. It's hard to live successfully like that. You got to pray. Come on. Come on. You need to get back in the spirit of prayer. You need to get back to praying. You get back to praying. Come on, church, let's pray.